It looks like probably Thursday, Congress will vote on its first bipartisan bill that'll breeze through with virtually no opposition. That's what we're hearing anyway. This is the one to loosen the strict banking rules that are part of the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, specifically as it impacts negatively community banks and regional banks. Kevin Hannigan has put together one heck of a bank. Legacy Texas Financial Group, now 44 banking offices around Dallas-Fort Worth. We figure they ought to be impacted. And plus, he has a good overview of what's going on. Kevin Hannigan is the president and CEO and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
David, always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, I mean, are you as excited about this as everybody else is? And it looks like this has been a long time in coming.
It has, and we're all very optimistic. You know, what started off to be a bill designed to prevent too big to fail, 2,300 pages and 400 rules to be written later, ended up impacting what is now all 6,000 banks in America, at least as it pertains to mortgage lending, and then escalating by size, stress testing, and costs associated with all of that. So it just has made it much more difficult to do business. And I think this is a look back and a realization that maybe this went a little too far.
So I guess it's overly simplistic to say, you know, you just have to set aside a large portion of the money I give you as a deposit in something that earns virtually no interest and is not making any money. You can't turn around and lend it out. It's more than just that, right?
It is. I mean, that's part of it. They want us all to retain more capital, which makes us safer. And then there's all this stress testing, which you got to come up with all kinds of scenarios that are all bad. And then, you know, determine whether you got enough capital to withstand those. And then one more time, as you get larger, you know, let's say above $10 billion, what if all of those things happen simultaneously? Do you have enough capital for that? And then the last, and maybe the one that seems to me to be at the time they said it to me the most ridiculous is you have to have a model to test your model.
So I mean on the one hand, you know, being sure that my money is safe when I give it to you, I find kind of appealing, but this layers on a lot of cost for you, right? I mean, especially for disproportionately for smaller institutions.
It does. As I say, it impacted all 6,000 U.S. financial institutions as it pertains to mortgage lending and made it more difficult. So more difficult on consumers. Any of your listeners out there who have applied for a mortgage loan in the last 8 years could attest to the sheer number of documents that
right.
was supposed to make it better for them. I assure you, for most people outside of the interest rate and the monthly payment and maybe the maturity date, the rest of that meant nothing to them. It just was more confusing than anything. But then as you got above $1 billion, you had to hold more capital, and you go above $10 billion, you have to do this stress testing and give up some of your income on interchange fees, which is the fee we collect when somebody swipes a debit card. You go above $10 billion, you give up about half of that income.
Wow.
And then when you go above 50, and I would say just the stress testing alone and the debit card, when we go above $10 billion, we're $9.5 billion today. Those two issues, the debit cards cost us about $5.2 million a year pre-tax, and the stress testing is about maybe another $2.5 million. So it's not an insignificant cost. And when you get to $50 billion and go above that today, you're designated as a systemically important financial institution, and you really fall into the big too big to fail category. You've got to do testing, and I hear stories that the cost of going above 50 could be anywhere from $25 million to $40 million a year of additional costs.
Well, that's just certainly a disincentive to grow, isn't it? So what happens to the bottom line, you know, for an institution like you? Can you quantify it?
Sure. I think we're still going to have to give up the interchange income, even as this bill is proposed. The retailers who are the beneficiary of that, they just have too big of a lobbying effort. They win. But for us, while we'll probably still have to do stress tests, we won't have to do all the submissions around it. So, you know, it could save us, not having to go through all that could save us $1 million to $2 million a year. And it's a really big deal for those institutions that are 50 to 250, because they're talking about taking this $50 billion threshold up to $250 billion. And that seems fair to all of us. It doesn't seem fair that a $50 billion institution, or if you want to put it more locally, a Comerica that's $70 billion, has got to follow all of the same rules as J.P. Morgan, which is $2.5 trillion.
Right.
And Wells Fargo, $2 trillion. It seems that there ought to be a break between 50 and those kind of banks.
Well, and like I said, a lot of support. We just don't see many bipartisan bills anymore.
I really think this might be the first one since Dodd-Frank, which was in the summer of 2010. So it appears to me we've got 13 co-sponsors on both the Republican and the Democratic side, so that's 26 co-sponsors of the bill. That's a lot of support, and in this day and time, we haven't seen anything like it in quite some time.
Well, we hope you get the relief. It sounds like we'll all benefit. Kevin Hannigan's president and CEO of Legacy Texas Financial Group. It's always good to have you on. Thanks for the time.
David, thanks for having me.
Thanks. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.